Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, Blog Talk Radio. It's good to have you with us tonight. Let's get YouTube up here going with us. Welcome, YouTube. It's good to have you with us tonight, right here on our program, Establishing Your Faith. And all of our friends and loved ones from around the world, welcome, 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 welcome. I have stretched way out tonight and added a third screen to my computer. So this will be a wonderful experience tonight. If you see me get that stare on my face, that's just technology stare. Don't worry, somebody just start talking and giving glory to God. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. And so, welcome everybody. We're going to continue in the vein of revival, and we're going to continue reading. We were determined to get the first four chapters of Acts read and talked about and preached and teached. And we're going to get there tonight. So tonight's word is God confirms his word with signs following. But, however, I want to do some very... No. Time out. Back up. Let's punt that ball and let's get a new one. All right? By the leadership of the Holy Spirit, I am going to... follow his direction tonight and do some very, very specific things that he showed me today. You know, all of us have been watching the revival there in Asbury. And as of today, it looks like they have actually closed the campus off for anybody to be able to get up to it. There is a collegiate day of prayer that is happening there tomorrow. And so, in the name of Jesus, may that same spirit explode out of there tomorrow, even though there's nothing going on there tonight. Thank God that revival's going everywhere. Matter of fact, I just saw a video here on my YouTube from Rod Parsley. Tonight is revival night with Dr. Rod Parsley at... World Harvest. So it's happening everywhere. Texas A&M, Lee University. Rick Curry was saying it happened at EKU, Eastern Kentucky University. They were having a move of God there. So this is happening everywhere. And you and I are just going to continue to fan the flame. I'll get it out and watch God work for us right here tonight. So now I want us to begin by speaking our prayer that we would pray regularly. So here we go. Join me for our opening prayer that we pray here on a regular basis. There we go. There we go. There we go. Thank you, Jesus, for the answer that I just got in my technology. Wow. Glory be to God. Here we go. Those of you at home, pray it with me. But don't turn your mic on, because then that makes it overpower what we got going on here. Ready? Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. We the community of faith declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
We fulfill the Great Commission today. Oh, goodness. And Jesus speaks to us saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Oh, guys, everybody just hold on here. Love, can you keep saying it? My goodness. Crazy screen.
What do you need me to keep saying?
Just keep making the confession.
Oh. Go ye therefore, let's do 19. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. I am telling you, I am with you all the way to the end of the age. Amen. Am I supposed to memorize the screen? So that's really fun. Tell me to say it and then take it away.
Well, I don't know if you can tell or not, but I'm having just a slight technological challenge here on my end.
That's too funny. That's too funny. Well, while we're here, we'll just say hello, Brother Dan, and Sunday on Zoom. We bless you. Thank you for being here. Hello, Roger. And Wayner Nude is on YouTube. We're so glad to have you guys with us. Thank you, Roger, for all your help on YouTube always. We appreciate you.
There's nothing I can do. I have a black screen with no mouse.
That's what I have. A black screen with no what?
Can, just see if you can stop the share.
No. No, it says disabled participant. You disabled me. You disabled both of us.
So
can you do something? Help.
So welcome to the night of the black screen. This is the newest experience that we've had yet.
Too funny.
Oh my goodness sakes alive. Let me try something else. Well, you know, I'm not without words to say. What is going on?
No, you've never been at a loss for things to say there, for sure.
See if I plug that in, if that makes a difference. Please do something. Please do something. Nope. So, if you would like to, you can open up your Bible, and we'll just go to Mark chapter 16. That's really interesting. Oh, no.
Mark 6. Oh, no. It's oh, no. Do you want me to just start reading Mark 16? Or are you going to commentate on it?
Well, I'm going to commentate.
All right.
So, yeah, go ahead. That way I can keep clicking. And while you're reading, I will commentate.
Whole chapter?
No, 16. Let's go to verse 15. I have managed to get everything behind that screen.
John says, oh, no. Okay, so let's just start reading here at verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world.
Let's go back up a few more verses than that. It's my notes, I think, says that. But let's go back up to the verse where Jesus is getting after him, 14.
Okay, the Great Commission.
Yeah, the Great Commission, yeah.
Okay, Mark 16:14. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.
Now, see, let's just stop there. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, who is the Christ, said, these signs will follow those who believe. Now, let me ask a question real quick, technology question. Can you see me?
No, we just have a black screen.
So if I'm sitting there scratching my head, it's all right because nobody can see me.
Yep.
Now, I can tell that your mic is live. How did you get your mic live?
I don't know. I just clicked my mic.
Well, all right then. All right, so Jesus is teaching the disciples here, and you see in verse 14, he rebuked them for their unbelief when they didn't believe Mary Magdalene, a woman preaching the gospel. The first woman to preach the gospel, he is risen. The first person to preach the gospel, he is risen, was a woman. I don't know how any preacher can invalidate a woman who's preaching the gospel. And Jesus rebuked them because they didn't listen to her. I'm preaching better than all y'all are staring at your screens right now in Jesus' mighty name.
They're still just trying to figure out where you're at.
I'm stuck behind this black wall. My escape button does not work. Well, this is what I know. I can probably hit my power button and shut me off, and you guys would still be there because you're there. Are you a host?
I am not. I don't have any capabilities right now.
You're not hosting anything. Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'm going to let it go. So then Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. And so everywhere around the world, where you see people who are true believers, you're going to see signs, wonders, miracles, and people laying hands on people, casting out demons, healing the sick, raising the dead. That was Jesus' assignment then, and that is Jesus' assignment now. And so you and I can see that God is doing a mighty work amongst us right here in front of our eyes here at Asbury. And we've seen healings and miracles and supernatural financial provisions and people flown in from all over the world and around the United States. And in so doing, we've been seeing God confirm his word with signs following. Now, go ahead, let's read verse 19.
So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. Amen.
So God is working with them. You can't do this in your own strength.
Yeah, amen.
You can't do this. Turn with me to John chapter 5. And we're going to read this chapter. That's a good one. This is Jesus just actually tanning the hide of the scribes and Pharisees. So let's just read John chapter 5. And I think we're going to go clear down through 23, at least that far. And by then, I will have this screen will be back on, and I will be in control of my computer again. This is Jesus teaching us, I can of myself do nothing. That's what Jesus said. Not just you and me. Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. So you and I got to get it in our hearts. We are not doing any of this by our own strength. We're going to do it in Jesus' strength. In Jesus' mighty name. So whenever you're ready, love, if you will.
After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been in that condition a long time. He said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered them, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they said to him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. After Jesus found him in the temple, he said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Verse 16, for this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus, sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Verse 18, therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he only broke the Sabbath. He not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal to God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do.
Now pause, read that. Pause and read that again. Because there's our statement.
Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him.
So you and I can see that Jesus is very specifically looking at them and saying, hey, I'm not doing this of my own strength. I'm not doing this of my own ability. I am very specifically doing this on the authority that I have from my Father. Now, did you guys get your screen back?
I have a screen issue. It looks like several put together, actually. Oh, no, I don't see it on Zoom. Well, isn't that funny? I am seeing a screen on my phone. Oh, it just disappeared. But I still have a black screen on my computer, YouTube, and on my Zoom screen.
Say again, Dan.
Oh, there you are.
Said Leanne on it, that's all. But then I seen you pop back in up at the top, so you're good.
Glory, hallelujah. You ready? I can of myself do nothing. It's very obvious. Oh, Jesus. But we made it. We made it back. And guess what? Blog Talk Radio is still up. YouTube's still up. Zoom's still up. Thank you, Jesus, for the wisdom that comes from above. John chapter 5, where Sister Leanne was just reading us to. Reading us to. Oh, my goodness. Have you ever felt like your spirit was at Mach 5 and your body was like dragging, bouncing on the ground behind it, saying, can you just slow down? And we say to you, body, get out of the way. Brain, get out of the way. Let the spirit man run in the mighty name of Jesus. So I want you to see this. This is just one of those things that's what do you do except when you see the truth, you got to just say, well, there it is. There's the truth. And think about this. I saw this today. Six responses to revival. Now watch what happens. Number one, you have the followers. These are the believers that are God, Jesus' disciples who might become exhausted. All right? They're the followers. They'll be with them. All right? The hurting, the lame, the sick, the demonized, who come pressing into Jesus out of desperation. The familiar, these are the ones who love us, but they don't love the movement. And they will try to protect us from ourselves. What were these guys saying right here to Jesus? We're going to kill you because you're out of your mind. Isn't that something what the religious do? Number four, the curious. These will come to check out what's going on. They won't get involved. However, they will go tell everyone else what they have seen and what they think. Number five, the religious. These come to refute and renounce the move, even calling it demonic. And then there's the disruptive. These are sent by the enemy to discourage and disrupt the move of God. However, Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. I love this verse. Jesus said, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he's seen the Father do. For whatever he, the Father, does, the Son also does. That's it. Verse 21. As the Father raises the dead, so will I. As the Father heals the sick, so will I. As the Father says to you, lay hands on them and pray over them, do it. Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Now, I'm back in the flow of where the Holy Spirit wanted us to go tonight. And so my next thing I want to do, Jesus, Lord have mercy. The next thing I'm being led to do is play again for you tonight, Brother Dutch's program from this morning, because it has a powerful revelation about I have given you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Today is 2/22. And it's the 22th day of February, Washington, 22 something else. And you're going to love this program as we share it from Brother Dutch. Now, come on. I know you might be like, Pastor, I want to hear you preach. I am preaching. I am. This is me preaching right here. And so I want you to hear this word from God Almighty. Jesus, help me. I will say this right. The Holy Spirit wants you to hear this word from God Almighty through Brother Dutch from today. Now listen, he's going to tell us about the keys of the kingdom. And that's what we need to see revival continue right here. Here we go. Brother Dutch Sheets.
February 40%. Connected to Samuel's MacBook Pro and Samuel Caudalette iPhone.
Oh my goodness sakes alive. Hold on. There.
Samuel Caudalette iPhone. Disconnected.
One more time.
Connected,
we got to speak something
Samuel
here.
Samuel Caudalette iPhone.
There.
Samuel Caudalette iPhone. Disconnected.
Goodness sakes alive. Here we go. What a night. This morning there was 8,000 people that had listened. Tonight there's 44,000. And we put our faith in agreement with every one of them. And we bind every force that's trying to stop revival. And we loose every force of man to make it go. In Jesus' mighty name. Go, Dutch. Wow. 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 Yeah. True story. Yeah. 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 Come and love it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen. Now, just in case you missed it, let me read the words out loud to you again. Don't ever make me get mama and her baby out of bed again and send them into the cold to remind you of your authority, especially after I've already given you so many confirmations. Now, you might want to screenshot it. You might want to say, Pastor, give me a copy and paste on that, because the bottom line is whenever God has given us many confirmations of who he is and what he's doing in our midst, it is out of order for you and I to look at him and say, well, can you give me one more revelation? And he's like, no, I've already given you enough. That's going to be sufficient for it. Now, let me grab another video here. I want to grab this one. That didn't work. Let me see. How do I do that? Oh, I know. I got to go like this. I just found another really cool Asbury video. No idea where this guy is, so enjoy it until I find it. There we go. We got him shut down. And now let's get this one more video I got up of Asbury. This is of the famous worship leader, Kerry Joby, driving to Asbury. Did you notice? She wasn't on the platform. I think this is one of the coolest parts of this outpouring, is that nobody famous was on that platform. Just good folk. Watch this. Your presence, Lord. Well, this is an interesting night of God doing many different things in our midst. Most of all, helping me be able to keep moving like I need to keep moving. All right. Well, I've got guys up over there on YouTube. We're glad to have you guys with us. And we're glad to have all of our friends with us on Blog Talk Radio. It's so good to always see you guys with us. And we did make our opening confession. And even though I was lost, I am now found. Thank you, Sister Leanne, for reading the verses. Let's go now, and we'll finish the verses that we were reading last night about the healing that happened after the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Did we get all the way to 4?
We didn't really quite finish two, did we? I don't think.
I think we did. I think we finished two. But we got into three last night, and I just got to preaching, so I'm not quite sure how far we got. If anybody, oh my goodness. Woo! Glory be to God. Maybe I should just pray in tongues the rest of the night. Let's go. We'll start at 3:11, and then we're going to read through chapter 4. I'm going to do my best to just read. And here we go. Maybe I should have you read, love, because you seem to read more than I do. I just stop. Here we go. I'm back on the right screen. Blog Talk Radio's with us. YouTube's with us. Got everybody where they belong. What is that screen all about? Not sure, but here we go. Acts chapter 3, verse 11. As the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's porch, and they were greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." Peter was standing there watching Pilate, like, Pilate's going to let Jesus go. And you guys are the ones that caused Jesus to be killed. Wait a minute. Jesus had to die. That was the Father's plan. "But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murder to be granted to you." That's the prophecy. "And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are now witnesses." That's the prophecy. The Prince of Life. Look at 16. "And his name and faith in his name has made this man strong." Do you know the name of Jesus? Do you use it regularly? Do you use it on things that you shouldn't? Do you use it on things that you should? His name and faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this, through him, that's capital him, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Verse 17, "Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God forbid, foretold by the mouth of all of his prophets, that the Christ was suffered, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." I heard a powerful message the other day. And I've heard Dr. Barclay preach this many times, that if you've done wrong, repent of your sins. But if you've not done wrong, then go back to the last assignment that the Father gave you and be found faithfully doing that. That's why it's so important to write down in a notebook, in a documentable place, what God is saying to you, so that when all of a sudden the cares of the world and life is staring you in the face, trying to break you down, you can open up your notebook and say, on this date, God said this, I'm going to go get that done in my life. That's why we tell you, take notes. That's why we tell you, put a date on it. That's why we tell you, don't lose the notebook, so that you have the ability to walk with God. Now, let's keep moving. My goodness. That was just one quick glance, but I didn't get lost in the technology. Let's keep reading. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins will be blotted out. If you've done wrong, repent and be converted. If you've done wrong, come to the communion service and repent. Don't run from communion, run to it. Don't run from his broken body, run to it. Don't run from the blood of Jesus, run to it with great determination that God will touch your life. That times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Think about the disciples, the apostles. They had just been in the day of Pentecost. This is the matter of a couple of days later. And here they are. They're having an absolute outpouring everywhere they go. And they see this man lame, and up he comes when Peter grabs a hold of him and stands him to his feet. Verse 20, that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom the heavens must receive until the times of the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Notice this, him is capitalized. Him you shall hear in all things, and whatever he, notice that he is capitalized, says to you. And it shall be that every soul who shall not hear what the prophet says shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets, from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Let's just go read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And just so you know, moderators at YouTube, don't tell Roger Oxy to remove your comments. I didn't ask for your moderation. And on this program, his comments are welcome. They don't violate what we're doing on this channel. You provide religious channels to people of all faiths like you do to me. Do not tell him, as a moderator, to take his comment down. Now, for everybody that wants to know, that's not to our family telling him to take it down. That's to the YouTube organization telling him to take it down. And you're out of order. And I tell you, stop and leave him alone. He's okay. Peter said that with all boldness we may reach forth our hands. That's what it says. I'm preaching the Bible. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. You don't have to listen to me. I'm not listening to people preach the Quran tonight because I don't want to listen to people reaching the Quran, but I didn't go stop them. So stay out of here and stop trying to stop me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any of them. Don't be brought under the power of any force of this earth. 13, foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods. But God will destroy both it and them. The body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. And every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. 19. Or do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Jesus, by his blood, delivers us from all iniquity. Anybody want to shout it with me? I am delivered from iniquity.
I am delivered from iniquity.
Every iniquity is broken in our lives. Now let's
go. Every iniquity is broken in our lives.
Now, let's go back, and we're going to keep reading in Acts chapter 4, verse number 1. All right? In 26, Peter's prophesying to him, Jesus came to deliver you from your iniquities. And now all of a sudden, while they're speaking, Acts chapter 4 happens. Ready? As they spoke to the people, look who this is. The priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. Those are not political leaders. Those are religious leaders, religious nuts. 2, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000 men. Now, if we take Moses' family as an example of a good Jewish family, you had Amram, Jochebed, mom and dad. You had Moses, you had Miriam, and you had Aaron. All of that was one family. So that's a family of 5. So if 5,000 men had come to Jesus, that's going to include 25,000 people, because every Jewish family believed in having a regular old Jewish family. There's a mass revival going on, and the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, the high priest, is angry about it. Let's go back and remember why they're angry. Because the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. They just got it fixed, and these guys are preaching in Jesus' name. We might end up having to have that veil fixed again if they keep preaching in Jesus' name. Why? Because they didn't receive him as the Christ and as the answer for their life. Let's keep reading. Verse 5. Came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together in Jerusalem. This is still not the political leaders. And when they had them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man stands before you whole. Remember what it said? And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. Verse 11, I'm in Acts 4:11. This is the stone which the builders rejected, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And think about this. This is only the matter of days since the day of Pentecost. Pentecost was 40 days after the resurrection. Now watch this. So Peter went from hiding because he was afraid he was the next to be crucified to now looking at these guys saying, you crucified him, and it's his name that has made this man strong. I love the boldness of the Holy Spirit. Remember, boldness of the Holy Spirit is not obnoxious with your family. Boldness of the Holy Spirit is not rude and mean. Boldness of the Holy Spirit is not interruptive of a church service or the preaching of the word. Boldness of the Spirit is not any of the works of the flesh that people do and say, I'm just bold in the Spirit. No, if you're bold in the Spirit, you're casting out demons, healing the sick, raising the dead, seeing somebody's life transformed. There's a lot of women that said, I'm just bold in the Spirit. And there wasn't nothing but a Jezebel trying to manipulate and control. There was a lot of men that were Ahabs in the realm of the Spirit. They weren't bold at all. They were empowering Jezebel to get the work done. Make sure if you're bold in the Spirit, you're getting something accomplished for the glory of God and for the upbuilding of his kingdom. It'll always be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. It will always be filled with love and joy and peace and gentleness and long-suffering, meekness, faith, temperance. That's what boldness in the Spirit produces. Boldness doesn't produce strife. I mean, these guys got in strife. But in our midst, boldness will always produce the blessing of God. Well, God confirms his word with signs following. That's the title of our message today. Right here in front of your eyes, not only did the man get healed, but Peter's getting ready to set these scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees in order right now. 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. If there's ever a goal for you in your life, let it be that people can see on you Jesus and marvel at his presence. Now, let me just pause for a moment and encourage some of you that have lived a wild and raucous life. We don't need to know about your raucous life, because if it's not important for Jesus to remember it, it's not important for us to know or remember it. There might come a day when God will cause you to use that testimony. I know a man who had been in prison, his whole adult life, from the time he was like 18 years old, and he had been in prison for like 13 years when I met him. And he got out of prison. Jesus got a parole early and got out of prison. And had really an amazing testimony of how God delivered him and how he found God. But God wouldn't let him share that testimony for about 15 years. Well, Pastor, why would God stifle you? He's not stifling you. He's getting you delivered from that old life and getting you set in stone in this new life. And then you'll be able to talk about your old life. I want you to think about this. You might have had a messed up life. Maybe you're like the woman at the well, and you've had two or three or five husbands. All right, maybe you're a man. Maybe you've had two or three or five wives. Maybe you've been a failure in different things in life. Sometimes God needs you to be quiet and let the grace of God come out of you so that people see the grace, not the words. So a lot of people that want to speak a witness, but they don't want to be one. A lot of people want to speak God boldly everywhere, brashly, but they don't want that to get in and transform that inner nature on the inside of them. You might be one of those that says, Pastor, I'm afraid Jesus is coming back and I'm not going to get anything done for him. Well, listen, what I'm saying to you right here, right now, tonight, I can tell I'm ministering to a whole flock of folks tonight. So don't anybody take it personal. I don't have anybody in mind. I am speaking by the Spirit of God right now that's going to help a whole flock of people. How much is a whole flock? I'm not sure, but it's a good count. It's like a flock. Just because you've been born again, just because you've been filled with the Spirit, just because you may have been around the church your whole life, doesn't mean that you get to be bold or crass or mean or hard or condemning. If you have a past, you're probably going to have to live it down. And the grace of God, the fruit of the Spirit, is what will cause you to live it down. I know a lot of people got born again and immediately went out on the street and began to preach hellfire and brimstone. And everybody that knew him was like, you just got out of that, Dad. We're not convinced you're going to stay out. And they didn't. And they didn't stay out. And guess what? It was just because they didn't learn to just sit, study, grow, develop. God never wants you to sit and do nothing. He wants you to grow, develop, become strong, and most of all, produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is not you speaking it to someone. I have the fruit of the Spirit. Watch me. I have one. No. It is proving it by your lifestyle that is truly going to be the answer to be a witness to many people. Now, I know I'm speaking it on purpose tonight for somebody. I don't have anybody in mind. But I encourage you, let go of the past. And begin to ask God to restore you and everything about you that was bound by whatever that was. And it's very interesting because I can see several things. When I went to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that was not the verses I was intending to read. Obviously, I meant to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, but I went to 1 Corinthians. And as soon as I started reading it, I heard the Holy Spirit say, stay here. Read these verses. That was for somebody very specific to encourage them to live above sexual sin. But if it's you, we don't need to know it's you. Matter of fact, please don't tell us it was you. Let us see you as the new creation in Christ Jesus. And let us witness that glory of God on your life. Let us enjoy that beautiful Spirit of God flowing up out of you. Because then, once that Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit begins to flow, then you can be bold like Peter and John right in the front of religious leaders and straighten things out in people's lives that will give great victory. Let's keep reading. I'm going to get through chapter 4. Verse 13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. They could tell these men had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. What? The man's healed. They crucified Jesus. Peter and John were very bold. 15. When they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? For indeed there was a notable miracle. That's the kind of miracles that God wants to perform, are notable ones that everyone can see. Has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare in every one of our lives, notable miracles will happen all around of us, and nobody will be able to deny it because we're so filled with the Spirit of God that it just overflows and bubbles out in Jesus' mighty name. 17. So that it spreads no farther among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no one in his name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. Watch this. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done in the man's life. For the man was 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed, and he was lame from his mother's womb. Now, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is them, that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nation rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. And then here's this marvelous prayer that every one of us should pray every single day. Somebody type the reference in there. Acts chapter 4, verse 29 and 30. Well, 29 through 31, because you can't leave it out. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word. It's got to be bold. Amen. We may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with great boldness. God wants you to be bold in his name, not critical. God wants you to be bold in his name, not scornful. God wants you to be bold in his name against the devil. God wants you to be bold in his name and declare, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven in my life. And like we just saw Brother Dutch say tonight, the keys of the kingdom have been given unto us. You might not have been given the assignment that Brother Dutch has been given to go to Washington, D.C. and speak over the president. That's a pretty high level of authority in the realm of the spirit for God to say that to him. Every one of us have the right in God to use that verse and bind things around our president, around Washington, D.C., and around the things of God in our lives. But maybe you don't have that same level of authority that Dutch did. But what is the point of saying and showing you that video tonight? But for all of us to learn that with all boldness, we stretch toward our hand to heal. Because our hand is the hand of Almighty God on this earth. Let's keep reading. I want to finish this chapter. Now the multitudes of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Just lift your hands in your home and receive that great grace coming upon you now, because that great grace is there night and day. Every day it's there available for us. Are we going to function in the grace, or are we going to function with our own faith? Let's function in his grace. Verse 34, nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands, houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed them to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. What was he doing? He was obeying the word of God that told him, sell that property, bring it to the young church, and watch what happens. This is commune. This is not communism. That's not God. God wants everyone to work so that he may eat. That's the word of God. Go with me now to Ephesians chapter Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 15 through 23. I know I'm reading a lot of Bible tonight, but it just seems to be the right thing to do, because you and I can never get too much of the word of God in our lives. Uh, I'm looking for another verse, but I'm not finding it. But it's all right. I'll find it real quick here. All right. Maybe it's in Colossians. Yeah, that's it. That's it. All right. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 15. Now watch this. With great power. Amen, John. Amen, Roger. Thank you, guys. You guys are doing it over there. Amen. Hallelujah. Watch this. We're talking about God confirms his word with signs following. That's in Mark chapter 16. The signs following the Asbury Bible is it's spread out everywhere. What the leaders have said they're going to do there at Asbury, who knows? I know they felt they had to get everybody moved out so that they could have this National Collegiate Day of Prayer was scheduled for right there. You may not believe, I don't believe they had to clear everybody out, but I think it would have just made a better Collegiate Day of Prayer. But anyways, Asbury will be hosting the Collegiate Day of Prayer, which is going to be tomorrow on Thursday. And so this is what we know. All across this nation and around the world, this revival has a gusher up, out, and it's flooding our land. And this revival is spreading all across this land, no matter where you are. I encourage you to go look up one of the places that's around there. I think about Brother John. In Tampa, they're having revival there. There's a college there somewhere that's in revival. There's a bunch of churches in Florida that's in revival right now, this same revival that's going on. So I encourage you, keep your eyes and your ears open. So if you hear of one around you, get out there and support it and be a part of it in Jesus' mighty name. Verse 15, goodness sakes alive, what a night. Ephesians 1:15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, you do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I don't cease to give thanks. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom. Just receive it. Just put your hands up and receive it. Give you the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of revelation. And the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be flooded with enlightenment, that you may know what is the hope of his calling in you, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You and I have an inheritance in the saints. And it's got riches of glory in it. You and I have riches of glory. It's just who God is. Amen? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Why? His name and faith in his name has made this man strong. And then Peter said that with all boldness we may reach forth the hand of God. Jesus, stretch forth your hand. The signs and wonders may be performed in the mighty name of Jesus, wherever you go. According to the working of his mighty power, Ephesians 1:20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. God our Father raised Jesus from the dead. And then for 40 days, he showed infallible proofs to the disciples. And then the ascension happened. And up he went. And he said, now you tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Even Jesus is seated in the place that the Father wants him to be. Jesus is seated there by assignment of the Father. Yeah. Every one of us are placed in the body as the Father desires us to be placed in the body. Don't fight it. Just let him place you in the body where he wants you. Amen? It might look strange. It might look weird. And you might say, what am I doing in this body? But it doesn't matter. Stay. Several things are going to happen. They got something for you. You got something for them. And the two forces put together is going to accomplish a great thing in God. Verse 21, fire above all principality, fire above all power, fire above all might, fire above all dominion, fire above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. Now, I love these next two verses. If you don't have these two verses down deep inside of your life where it is radically changing you and every part of you, get it. And he, God, the Father, put all things under his, Jesus, feet and gave him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church. Jesus is running the church right now, if the church will let him. Jesus is building the ecclesia, the body of Christ, his governing body of authority. There's a lot of people building a church in their own name, and they're not letting Jesus do anything. That's not the will of God. He put all things under his feet and gave him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. You and I are the body of Christ. So when we stretch forth our hand to heal in the mighty name of Jesus, like Peter said, with all boldness, we are stretching forth God's hand to heal. Well, of course, signs and wonders are going to happen, but not because of you and not because of me, because we're stretching forth his hand to heal. Look at 23. To be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. This body of believers right here are to be an example of the fullness of God. All of his authority, all of his might, all of his dominion, all of his strength, all of his honor, all of his glory, all of his blessing. I'm in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. The body of Christ, the true church, is to be an example of the glory of God. All might, all dominion, all strength, all power, and then blessing and glory and honor and riches and praise. The body of Christ is supposed to be all of that everywhere we go. Everywhere you go. You and I are to bring that with us everywhere we go. Now, I know there's men and women around the world that God has sent out as apostles, and he's commanded them to preach in the street. Repent! But that's not everybody's assignment. Many people's assignment is to stretch forth Jesus' hand to heal. And that person says, you know something about God I don't know, and then they come with you. And they join you right here saying, let me learn about our God and Father. That's why I'm continually telling you, when you get one of these videos and it really ministers to you, don't put a timestamp. and begin to share the video with people that ask you questions about the things of God. Share these videos and tell them, come and ask your questions and receive your answer. Give him my email address. Tell him, ask Pastor Sam any kind of question. He's going to be able to get that answer to you. Listen, it's always going to be a video. Why? Because God has already spoken his word right here through you and I in this gathering of believers. And what is it that we've got to do except grab a hold of this truth? And once it's been preached to us, now get it down in our life and get it established, so that you and I can use the word of God like a wrench, like a tool, and go into people's lives. And if they need a good tightening of their nut that's out of order, just tighten that nut down so it's no longer out of order. Maybe they need a screwdriver. And to get that screw, it's loose, get it so it's no longer loose. Maybe they need a hammer to beat out some of the things of sin in their life. Maybe they need a scalpel. Cut off some things that don't need to be there. You and I are this, we are the body of Christ. We are the fullness of the body of Christ on this earth. And we have the answers for everyone who comes around us. Go with me. And we're going to Colossians chapter 2. Verses 4 through 9. Amen. Colossians 2, 4 through 9. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I told you yesterday, Brother Lou Engle's challenging a bunch of people to do the Jesus fast. Between today and Easter, which is 40-day fast. And he's challenging people to do the Jesus fast, which is water only. And that's a tough challenge. That's a tough fast for a lot of people to do. If you've never done a fast, I would encourage you to start fasting. Some of us need a sledgehammer. Amen, John. But that's all right. Get a sledgehammer. It works. Matter of fact, what do you guys call it in construction? Get an air hammer. Hook it up to a big air hose. Pound that thing down. Matter of fact, if that jackhammer that man holds isn't good enough, then get in the hydro hole and put a hammer on the front of that. You'll break up that fallow ground yet, because that's what we got to do, is break up the fallow ground and get that soil so that it can receive the engrafted word of God. If you want to take on this fast for the next 40 days, I encourage you to do it. But I'm not going to tell you what to fast. I want you to fast because God led you into it to do something, to fast something in your life to get to a new level of consecration with God. All fasting is about is consecration. It's all it's about. It's about you getting alone with God and saying, I am going to set apart this time to go in deeper with you. So don't spend all your fasting time watching cooking videos. That just proves you're not really fasting. You're just on a starvation diet. It's good for your body to do that. Anybody that's bound by any kind of nicotine, alcohol, illicit drugs, anybody that's bound by any of that, I encourage you to fast. Go on a 3-day water only fast. Your body will fight you like you ain't never seen, but when you come out of it, you'll be free from that stuff. You will be totally free. And I always seen a 40-day fast as something that only the greatest Christians and Elijah and Jesus and that they're the only ones that can do it. But my goodness sakes, since last year, I've met thousands of people who do a 40-day fast. Thousands, not even Christians. They do it because it's very good and healthy to give up that much food and to get all of those toxins out of your system. Now, some of you are going to tell me, I can't do that, Pastor, because I got this, that, and whatever. All right. Well, I encourage you to ask God to help you get rid of all of those things that you say would keep you from being able to do it. And then fast the fast that the Father encourages you to do. Yes, I'm causing you to be building a relationship with Almighty God, our Father. You got to listen to him. You can listen to me, and that ain't going to do you no good standing before Jesus. Well, all right, I can't say that. You better listen to me if I'm your pastor, but you can't stand before Jesus and say, I only did what pastor said to do to build relationship with God. You do. You got to build a relationship with him. And you got to follow him because you're doing what he said for you to do. I encourage you. I'm going to read my verses now and get off the fasting. So I do encourage you. That fast started today. If you haven't fasted anything else yet, just fast for the rest of the day. Don't eat anything else or drink anything else but water for the rest of this day. And then set your fast in order with God. Write it on a piece of paper. What it is that you and God come to. And it might just be your sweets. That's a good thing to fast for 40 days. It might be that you're going to fast meat, protein, but eat beans and peanut butter and stuff. It's an excellent fast, and it'll transform your life. Maybe you're going to fast for 3 days. I just want to encourage you. There's thousands of fasting water and be a blessing. And there's a book called The Jesus Fast. You can buy it on Kindle for about $6-7. I would encourage you to do that and put it right on your device, your phone, your computer, your tablet, and read the book. Read it and listen to what people say about fasting. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Paul told them, I don't want you to be led away by persuasive words of human wisdom. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. He could see that the church at Colossae was in good order in the realm of the spirit. Remember what Elisha said to Gehazi? Did you not know my spirit went with you? Yeah. Many times what you do is seen by the prophet of your life. Yeah. And it's always seen by Jesus. Pastor, are you seeing what I'm doing? You might be surprised what God shows me sometimes. 7 or 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk with him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. Remember, Jesus is the author and finisher of the faith, and he lives in you. So faith himself lives in you. You have faith. But if you walk around saying, I don't have any faith, the author and finisher of the faith that's on the inside of you has got to just do nothing. Don't put Jesus in the unemployment line. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. You have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ, the anointed one, with the anointing to set people free. Look at verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Read it again. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Remember what we just read? You are the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. So when we reach forth our hand, the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form is reaching forth the hand of Jesus to heal. That's why our words have to be words seasoned with grace. It's not that they won't be ever be confrontational, but they won't be brash and harsh and mean. They will confront, but Ephesians chapter 4 says, speaking the truth in love, we grow up into all things, into him who is the head, Christ. May our message that we preach and teach always be filled with the love of God, always be welcoming of what he's doing in our lives. Think about this. Not only are you born again, but Jesus, like, tarry till you be endued with power. Jesus said to the disciples, how much more does the Heavenly Father want to give you the Holy Spirit than you even want to ask about it? So he wants you filled with the Holy Spirit. You're born again. You're filled with his Spirit. You're reconciled with the Father. Your sins are not imputed against you. You've become a minister of reconciliation, that you go and reconcile others to him. You're an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. You have been made a king and a priest to our God. See, that's who you are. And you might not know that yet, but all of what I just said is who you are. You are literally an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Everything that Jesus had access to, so do you. I know. I got that sledgehammer John was talking about and the jackhammer, and I'm beating these rocks of religion out of some folks' lives tonight. I'm telling you, as soon as we get this revelation of who we really are in Christ Jesus, there will be no force that can stop the revival that it just lives in us every day. We shouldn't have to go somewhere to be revived. It should happen right here in our Bible every day. One person, well, not one. I've heard a hundred people say it. But Brother Osteen was one that was famous for saying it, John Osteen. He would say, don't study to preach a message, boys. Study to be a man of God. Because if you study to be a man of God in your personal life, you will always be filled to overflowing to minister to everybody else's life. Well, that's not just to preachers. That's to every one of us. Do you want your grandchildren to love Jesus? then you've got to be filled with Jesus so when they get around you, they want to be stuck to you like glue. If you're crass and harsh and mean, they're not going to want to be around you. What? Because you're not giving that joy of the Lord, the glory of God. It's not flowing out of you. Change in here. Don't just listen. See, you got something to say, and I'm going to straighten that person out. That's not the spirit. Spirit is, I have the spirit of the living God living on the inside of me. I am a living, breathing, walking powerhouse of God. Jesus, the living word, is in here. The author and the finisher of the faith is in here. The light of the world is in here. The Father God said, I'm going to come and make my abode within you. He's in here. He's in here. Now, when with all of that happening on the inside, what's coming out of here has got to change to match that. And how do you do it? But to get this word out and find these verses. Some of you have yet to learn it. Some of you are getting it. Many of you have already gotten it. Now watch this. When I'm teaching and there's a verse of scripture that leaps off the page to you, you need to write that in your notebook as an important verse for you. And then go back and write that verse down on a page, on a piece of paper, in your phone, in a note, with other verses that as I'm teaching, that verse comes alive to you. Whoa, wow, look at that. Well, you may not, I might give 13 verses that we're reading, but one of them stands out. It's that one verse you need, because in that is a principle that's going to set you free. I didn't give it to you. As I was diligently doing my work here as a pastor, as a leader in the kingdom, to share with you the word of God, the Holy Spirit of God who lives in you illuminated that verse to you to bring it alive so that you can begin to speak it and study it and memorize it and declare it and proclaim it over you and over your family and over your life. That's how he works. That's how you change the abundance of your heart. Remember what the psalmist said, Psalm 119, how can a young man cleanse his ways? Well, he's got to give himself diligently to the word of God. Let me grab that verse real quick. How can a young man change his way? Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. Psalm 119, 9 through 16. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Now, in the New Testament, we know that how we cleanse our way is we're born again, we repent of our sin, we accept the blood of Jesus, we're made white as snow, we are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, so that you no longer have to wonder about righteousness because you were made into it, because you received the gift of righteousness. Now watch this. Verse 10. With my whole heart, I have sought you, capital U. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Well, in our day, not only is the commandment right here, but thy word have I hid in my heart. Jesus is hidden in your heart. So the word that he illuminates to you while I'm speaking, you got to get it out, write it down, speak it out loud. When you speak it out loud, you hear it with your ears, you see it with your eyes, you speak it with your mouth, it goes down in your heart, and it fills your life with the word of God. Until you get your life filled with the word of God, it's still going to be filled with the old life you lived. The sooner you fill your life with the word of God, by speaking it out loud continually, the sooner all that junk from your past will be gone, and you'll have created a whole new thought pattern that you can think in. It's the ways of the mind, but really it's the ways of God. He said, study to show yourself approved to God. Remember, you're not competing against any of us. There's no competition here. You're competing to be the best you can be. You are working to become the mighty man or woman of God that God wants you to be. That's what you must do. And that's how you do it. Let's keep reading. Verse 11. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, they had to hide the word there. We have Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit in our lives. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And my closing verses for tonight in this very, very interesting night of God's leadership by the Holy Spirit. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Can we get a glory be to God from anybody?
You know that's my favorite.
Amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Wow. Glory be to God. John 17, verses 20 through 26. This is the last instruction at the Last Supper that Jesus gave his disciples. In John 17, he's actually praying. Verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. What are we reading tonight? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the book of Acts, Ephesians, Colossians. What are we reading? Their word. So that verse, verse 20, you found you in Jesus' prayer, his last prayer at the Last Supper, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me. Jesus is praying for you and I to be one as he and the Father are one. And I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Our greatest testimony to the world is that they see us as one.
Amen.
22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. What's the glory? The righteousness of God. Jesus gave it to us. The glory of God is his righteousness, his holiness. And he gave it to Jesus. And Jesus gave it to us. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and you have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. And Paul said, we're seated together with him in heavenly places. That's what Paul said. You and I are seated together with him in heavenly places right here, right now, even as we speak, while you live on earth. That's why Jesus said to pray, thy kingdom come to this earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because we're seated together with him in heavenly places. We get to see earth in a totally different light than what we did as a mere human already there. 25. Here's the word. O righteous Father. Jesus received his righteousness from the Father. Of course it's perfect. We've received our righteousness from Jesus. Of course it's perfect. And we live in that righteousness every day. The world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you, that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. You're one with God in Jesus' mighty, awesome name. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, your word is amazing. It's filled with life. It's filled with instruction. It's filled with example. It's filled with understanding, great revelation. And just like the parable of the sower, we pitch out the rocks. We pull up the weeds. We till up the wayside so that the fertile soil of our life may be fertile and the seed of God's word can land and be planted in our heart and begin to produce a harvest, 30, 60, and 100-fold return as you promised it would. May we be very bold to stretch forth our hand and pray so that signs and wonders may confirm the word that we preach. I speak it into the lives of every person that's with us tonight, that by these infallible proofs of Almighty God, you will see and know who he is in your life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. God confirms his word with signs following. Wow. What an amazing, amazing thought that you don't even have to be a highly skilled believer. You don't have to have a degree. You just got to know the word. Read the word, believe the word, speak the word, live the word. And it's all right here. Jesus promised us that to him who has revelation, more revelation will be given. That's Jesus' promise. Jesus said that he who does not have revelation, even what he seems to have will be taken away from him. Not by God, by the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. Enter in and realize it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But you got to have a diligent search for the reality of the truth manifesting in your daily life. And then the revelation never stops. It just keeps right on pouring in. in Jesus' mighty name. Well, there we go. Let's receive our communion elements tonight. What a night we've had tonight. What a night. A night of that assignment from Brother Dutch. I remember the day that Jesus said to us, he spoke a word to us that said, I'm in the rotunda of the Capitol and I'm directing traffic. And I saw people just rolling over and over, tumbling out of the way. He said, President Trump invited me back into the Capitol and I'm not leaving. Well, then I don't know if you saw it, but about 2 weeks ago or something, Brother Sean Foyt was in the rotunda of the Capitol with his guitar singing praises to God in that beautiful room with the most perfect acoustics there were. He was there with a senator, and they took him in there. He said, I want to sing in the rotunda, and he did it. God is saving America right now. Turn off the news, turn off the garbage, get rid of it, and get your nose in this book, because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That was just a 2-minute extra. I won't charge you a penny for it. Let's receive communion now. Those of you that are with us, maybe this is new to you, you've never received communion. We encourage you to get you some bread and water. I got me one of these little crackers right here that I use. I use them. I really like to use bread. Personally, I like to use a regular bread because that's how I was raised doing it. But as I lead in communion, you got to have something that dissolves quickly, so you're not sitting here chewing. Remember that the communion service is the same service that the Passover was supposed to be, except in the Passover, they had to sacrifice a lamb and they had to cook a bunch of food. And it was a regular feast that lasted for a whole day. And so Jesus took all of that and put it into a glass of grape juice and a piece of bread, that whole Passover feast has culminated into his broken body and his blood shed. And that's what communion's all about. If you've sinned this week, don't run from God, run to him. If you've sinned, don't run from the blood, run to it. Churches had this so twisted and said, if you've sinned this week, don't come around when communion's happening because you're going to drink damnation. No, you won't. You will drink the life you need. Serious, erroneous doctrine that was taught right there. So I straighten it out regularly. This is our process. I'm going to read the verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And then we'll pray the prayer of salvation. And then we will give you a couple minutes of instruction, and then receive the communion elements together. Here we go. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I like to say his redemptive work. All of it. Verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves under God, we would not be judged by anybody out here. There's always people in the world that's going to flap their lips and rattle their gums about you, but don't worry about them. Who cares? When the dogs bark, the caravan still moves on. You don't worry about them people. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. How so? Because as he is, Jesus, as he, Jesus, is right now in heaven, so are we in this world. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it, because there is no fear in God's perfect love. I bind trauma. I bind torment. I command you in the mighty name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. I command you to loose your grip on these people's lives and allow them to be free to receive these communion elements in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody pray this prayer of salvation with me. Those of you that's with me on Zoom tonight, if you will pray this prayer with me, we'll give it to you a couple words at a time. And when we're finished, if you mean this prayer from the depths of your heart, you will be right with God no matter what your background has been. You could be a very wicked person. Maybe a drug lord or something. But God doesn't keep you from this. God wants you to receive this. And if you will just pray this prayer in faith, you'll just pray it in faith, then your life will be changed by the time we're done. Here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your arms out and say, I receive you into my life, Lord.
I receive you into my life, Lord.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Forgive me of my sins, Jesus.
Forgive me of my sins.
Wash me with your blood.
Wash me with your blood.
I know I'm white as snow.
I know I'm white as snow.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the Word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
language. And live a successful life as a believer every day.
And live a successful life as a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, for those of you that just prayed that prayer, you'd be like, well, it happens. I can feel that same wonderful presence of God on the inside of my life when I pray that prayer. And so some people say, well, what is this feeling? And you know, you try to put it in human words. It's very difficult to do. But I want you to think of it this way. It's not a feeling. It's an experience. You are experiencing God filling your being. In the garden, Adam and Eve were one with God. There was no distance between them. They were one. They were connected one to one in spirit. They were connected. And then sin happened, and they chose to follow the path, the enemy. And so then they broke that fellowship. They broke that communion. When you're born again, that's restored. And you just said, Jesus, I receive. And he came into you. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open up, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. That's Jesus' promise to you. Right now, you should feel light because the light of the world has filled you. Right now, you should feel bold in faith because Jesus is the author and finisher of the faith. He just came into you. You probably feel clean and holy and pure. That's because he just filled you with his righteousness, which is clean and holy and pure. And now you get to live by his righteousness and not the works of your own flesh or your own strength or your own ability. It is an amazing thing. Got some great teachings on it. We'd love to share them with you. If you get in contact with me, I'll give you a link to a YouTube video that you can study anytime you want to. And they're all free of charge, and they're a blessing. As we learned Brother Keith to say, when it's free of charge, when there is no charge, there is no excuse for not having the revelation of the things of God. Study it. And when I make a statement, you're like, man, that's a powerful statement. Put a timestamp in right there. And then you can back it up and hear me say it over and over and over and over and over again. That's why they started this YouTube short thing, is so that preachers could take that 1-minute segment out of a sermon and just throw it out there on the web so that people can just keep hitting it and hitting it and hitting it, and it transforms you on the inside. Click like, subscribe, hit the bell, and join with us on a daily basis as we preach and teach the word. You now have joined an amazing family, the family of God, the greatest family on the face of the whole earth. God is your father. Jesus Christ is your elder brother. And all of us, we're your other brothers. And we're all walking with God every day. And so will you. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's lift up our elements together today. In Jesus' name, we're going to bless these. All of you on Zoom, I like it when we got more than one person praying because it sounds like church. So you're all welcome to pray with us if you're still awake. That's just a slight joke there. Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements
for this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgressions.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
Think about it. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, and in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
My mind, my will, and my emotions.
There's nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint is supplying in my body.
every joint is supplying in my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
In
Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Let's receive Amen. The broken body of our Lord together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And now, we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Everything I'm getting ready to pray is a verse of scripture about the blood. So if you listen diligently to what we're praying, you'll be trained in the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, the most powerful cleansing force on the face of this earth. I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
I have reconciliation with my Father.
I have reconciliation with my Father.
I have been made a new creation.
I have been made a new creation.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
All things have passed away and all things have become new.
And I thank you for it, Jesus.
And I thank you for it, Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of God. Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment every day.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, I overcome. By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over me. And there will not be a feeble one amongst us. My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church without spot or wrinkle. When you come for me in Jesus' mighty name.
When you come for me in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Let's receive his bloodshed in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, let's sing our song. I like this one. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Well, thanks for being with us tonight. This was an interesting trip. But I actually, mission accomplished. Actually, I had three screens running tonight. And it's really, really awesome to be able to have it like that. So thank you for everyone for helping us while we're in the middle of that, speaking your faith and getting those screens back on. Thank you, Jesus, for not only a computer, but a cell phone that works. And thank you for good people in Jesus' mighty name. This is what we do every night. Come and be with us. And Lord, take us up to a new level. That's what I'm praying for. Let's go to a new level. But Sister Phyllis, you got the closing verses for us there. Our
doxology. Thank you so much for letting me read it. Okay, Jude 20 through 25. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And amen. And Revelation 1, 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Put your arms out like this and just say, we reap every soul that heard this message.
We reap every soul that heard this message.
Come to Jesus tonight.
Come to Jesus tonight.
Hold your hands out like this and say, I received a hundredfold return.
I received a hundredfold return.
That belongs to me.
That belongs to me.
Because I helped you preach the gospel tonight, Jesus.
Because I helped you preach the gospel tonight.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. Amen. And amen. Well, that's it for right now. And want to encourage you to come back and be with us and join with us. We'll be in here in the morning for the morning prayer time. That starts at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central. And we'll be praying for the nation and praying for revival and going where God's wanting to go and do what he's wanting to do. We encourage you to be there with us. Any way we can answer a question, help you in any way, if it's within our power, we'll do it. And we'll be a blessing to you. You can contact me, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. It's right there in the notes of this program on Blog Talk Radio and on YouTube. It'll be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. Once we get this finished, we'll be hanging out with the Zoomers a little bit. So if you're wanting to hang out and Zoom and chat and conversate, we welcome you. Come and be a part of that in Jesus' mighty name. Until we see you again, this is what we have to say. Remember this. We love you.
God loves you.
And
we
God
love you.
Loves you. And Jesus,
Jesus is Lord.
In Jesus'
have a good night. Good night.